Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, Sirius XM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. How you doing? It's Kelly Bidlin to my left.
Hey-o.
Producer number nine. So much more than a producer. What's happening, man?
No, nothing much. Nothing much.
Roughly 100 hours-ish. I did the math. A little more than that. Away from Super Bowl 59. Super Bowl licks. You excited? Is the excitement building? Has the excitement peaked? Is the excitement waning?
It's the Super Bowl. I'm always going to be excited.
But I was going to say, take your time.
But there's two big events I think we have before that, Gil. For us, NBA trade deadline, which is heating up big time.
I was like, what? The Transylvania Open? Finals? Right.
Kevin Durant back to the Warriors?
Okay.
We're going to have to talk about that. And then awards finally tomorrow, right?
Awards.
We might make money finally tomorrow.
Awards tomorrow, baby.
What a positive attitude, right? We might make money tomorrow.
Oh, we're definitely making money because Jaden Daniels is winning Offensive Rookie of the Year. So cash that off the bat. The only question is, do I make Offensive Rookie of the Year plus MVP money?
Yeah.
In which case it will be a banner day, a blue ribbon day is what I'm looking for.
For me, it would be MVP and comeback. I'm still kicking myself. What was that? Was that a Thursday at the D when you and Crack both walked 5 feet behind you and made that bet? And I was like, I should probably join those guys.
Which
and I
one?
Never
the
did.
Jaden Daniels
yeah.
one? It was the last seven plus 750 in town, and Lamar Jackson was 12-1 when I bet him at a different time. But yes, the Jaden Daniels thing was you just sleeping.
Me sleeping. I remember watching you two, and I'm like, I should probably do that same thing. Nope.
Did Crack bet it too? I didn't know.
Pretty sure he did, yeah.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. We got a lot of guests today. Jonathan Von Tobel live from New Orleans, site of Super Bowl 59. He will join us to talk Super Bowl 59, of course, and a little NBA as well. Maybe pick his brain about KD and Curry. If that happens, is that a thing? Does it move the needle? That's the question. Jim Root, James Patrick Root from Three Man. We've talked a little college hoops. Let's do a little list of college basketball teams. Get his opinion on can they win it all or not. Joe Fortenbaugh from ESPN, our old buddy Joe, from his own radio show. And of course, ESPN Bet, the television show, and many, many Sports Center appearances where he is beloved by seemingly all.
Shining star over there these days.
Shining star for you to see what your life will truly be. Joe Fortenbaugh. Hey, Kelly's got some waste management. Phoenix Open golf picks coming up as well. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. And our old Ready, Set, Bet co-host friend, who used to be our primetime action co-host, Matt Brown. Is he in studio with us?
He is in studio,
ladies
and gentlemen.
All of his thoughts on Super Bowl 59. I have dipped into the prop market. I will give you those bets that I made last night here momentarily. I just want to say this because I cannot stop talking about Luka, as so many people are in that boat. And I just, there's one thing, and again, everything that I said Monday still applies, which is, I don't care how you feel about this, the fact that the Dallas Mavericks and Nico Harrison did not shop this around, right, and only went to the Lakers for this. I don't care where you stand on this trade, and I am one of the people who stands on it, like, this is unprecedented, obviously, but the fact that he didn't shop it around is the one detail of this that remains, above all, the most mind-boggling thing going. Regardless of if you feel as, oh, he's often too out of shape, he doesn't play any defense, whatever your knock is, he wasn't going to sign the Supermax, whatever it is, you still shop this guy around to more teams. However, I did want to point this one thing out because every once in a while a new detail trickles in on this. And I feel like Brian Windhorst to me is probably the best analyst in any sport going. Agree or disagree? Is there anyone better in any sport? And the reason I say this is because
he's
unfiltered in a way that I can't wait to hear what he says.
I completely agree from that standpoint. Yeah, yes. And the unfiltered part is
What other barometer is there then? I cannot wait to hear what this guy has to say. He made a little aside in something he was talking about. He was like, yeah, you know what I said after game three of those NBA finals. And I was like, oh, yeah, what did you say? So this is just to give him some props. And because I think it's a fascinating detail that we sort of glossed over at the time, because if you remember in the NBA Finals, the Celtics, they didn't sweep the Mavericks, but it was a gentleman's sweep. They won it 4-1, but it was one of those gentleman's sweeps also where it was 3-0. And so it was kind of KD bar the door at that point, because nobody comes back from 3-0 in the NBA, in the history of the NBA. But after that game 3, Game three, which the Celtics obviously, you know, put the nail in the coffin, not completely, but it was, for all intents and purposes, done. It was 93-90 Celtics with just over 4 minutes in game three.
Yeah.
And the Mavericks fighting for their playoff lives and their finals lives at this point. And Luka took a foul, fell down, took a foul. And this is Brian Windhorst's reaction to SVP's questioning after the game about this sequence.
He is a hole on the court. The Celtics are attacking him. They are ahead in this series because they have attacked him defensively. And you've got a situation here where Luka is complaining about the officiating. They have begged him. They have talked with him. They have pleaded with him. He is costing his team because of how he treats the officials. He's a brilliant player. He does so many things well. They are here because of how he did. His performance in this game is unacceptable and the reason why the Mavericks are not going to win. He's got to get over this. And the fact that he came out after the game and blamed the officials showed me he's nowhere close yet. So maybe over the summer, somebody will get to him because nobody with the Mavericks or anybody else in his life has. And that's where the Mavericks are at this point. They're never going to get to this tunnel with the trophy if he doesn't improve those aspects of his game.
And here we are just over a half a calendar year later, and all of this is manifested in the most dramatic way.
Yeah.
I just thought that was a Hall of Fame moment now in retrospect.
So did you happen to hear Brian Windhorst talking about this exact moment the other day?
I didn't in detail. I just heard him allude to it, so I found this.
Yeah. Very interesting, because it was right on the when the news came out, right, Luke, and everybody's, why? What? How could Dallas possibly do this, right? And Brian Windhorst said, he brought up that interview, right, and said, basically said he didn't know how it was going to go over with the Dallas brass, right? He was going to sit in press conferences.
Oh, I did hear
after
this
he
part.
Just called yes. out basically how Luka treats himself, performs, and how the coaches don't hold him to a higher standard, yada yada yada, right? And he said he sat in every press conference, talked to all the Dallas Mavericks brass within the next 24 hours. None of them said a word.
Which
means it's been a thing. And like that, and that's why he was so angry about it, because we know how great of a player he can be, and it's a thing. It's absolutely a thing, his conditioning.
The soap opera that is the National Basketball Association. Anyway, shout out to Brian Windhorst, because I thought that was awesome.
But like we've said all week, so give me the upside on Luka the rest of his career.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
Give me the upside. He's 25. You don't think he can get in shape eventually? Maybe he can, but he sure can.
I feel like that was my first angry I'm sorry in a while.
I made a couple prop bets. It's really two prop bets in one, but it's two separate bets.
Here's
the thing. You're for 2 weeks, you're just staring at these things. And no matter how hard you try, after all, like, nope, I'm just going to be a better, you know, disciplined on this. Finally, at some point, you're like, all right, I can't take it anymore. Kareem Hunt, Chiefs first touchdown scorer and the overall first touchdown scorer. I bet them both. The Chiefs first touchdown scorer at +425. The first overall touchdown scorer in Super Bowl 59 at 9-1. You can shop these around, but these are pretty much static numbers everywhere. I looked at many places and these were the numbers at multiple places. Here's the reason. Now, obviously, this correlates with my game thought, which is I'm on the Chiefs. I'm not going to get in front of the Patrick Mahomes train here. And now I obviously don't know who's going to get the ball first in the first half. That's obviously where the advantage begins, right? Which is kind of why I went with both of these, just in case the Chiefs didn't get the football. But with the Chiefs, when you think about the Eagles, you think about the distribution of first touchdowns. I mean, what is it? It's Saquon, it's Jalen Hurts, it's A.J. Brown, it's Devontae. Maybe it's the tight end.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe it's Goddard. With the Chiefs this year in 17 football games, right? 15-2, plus a couple playoff games,
well,
by the way.
Good.
Plus a couple playoff games. So that's what? That's 19 football games. I'll do it from the bottom up. Here's who's had one first touchdown. Mahomes, Juju, Watson, Gray, Kelsey. Here's who's had two first touchdowns. D-Hop, Rashee Rice, who's no longer with us, of course. I mean, from an injury standpoint.
Yeah.
Didn't want to make it more dramatic than it actually is. Pardon me. Got a little ahead of myself. Second most, Xavier Worthy, four of the Chiefs' first touchdown scores
really?
This year. And number one is Kareem Hunt with five of them. Now, did that alone make me want to bet this? No. However, on a team that you feel like, and is also backed up by those numbers right there, that you feel like the distribution is far wider than, say, that of the Eagles when it comes to who could possibly score the first touchdown. Kareem Hunt still, if you step back, even if you didn't know those numbers, feels like the most likely. Especially, if you get to the one-yard line, he's the guy most likely to get the football. Maybe even if they get to the 3 or 4 yard line, he's the most likely to get a short pass. I don't know. I'm just saying, of all those players, he feels to me like the best shot going. And he is reflected in the numbers as the shortest shot on the Chiefs. But to me, plus 425 is the Chiefs' first touchdown score and 9-1 is the first overall score. Those are numbers that are better than I would have expected. By the way, Worthy, not much longer in either category, in case you were wondering. Xavier Worthy, who had 4 first touchdowns this year. So I really like the Hunt plays here. The other way I kind of look at it, and I know it's not the same thing because with obviously a baseball game and a tennis match, it's a binary choice, right? Somebody wins, somebody loses, and this is, you know, multi-selection here. But if I'm just thinking about this in my tennis terms, like how many $4 dogs do I play a year? I play maybe a handful. We win a couple, right? Navarro beating Sabalenka last year. I think Putintseva beating Goff last year. For those who are tennis hardos who follow, they may remember. Baseball, I mean, a $4 dog, I think of the Tampa Bay Devil Rays taking on Randy Johnson and the Yankees. So if I put it in those terms, just those are 4-1s, and then I think about Kareem Hunt, Chiefs' first touchdown scorer at plus 425, my brain goes to, and I know it's not mathematically the same thing, but my brain goes to, yeah, I'll take that. That seems way more likely.
So you're on the same page then with me, as well as Pacheco. It's Hunt over Pacheco, even in those short yard situations. Me too.
For me, it is. We'll come back. JVT from New Orleans, site of Super Bowl 59. It's a numbers game at Beeson, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The big game is almost here, and VSiN has you covered from kickoff to cash out. All your favorite VSiN hosts will be breaking down the action all day long with expert analysis, sharp betting insights, and real-time odds updates live from Las Vegas. From early morning breakdowns to in-game betting strategies and post-game recaps, we're bringing you the most comprehensive Super Bowl betting coverage anywhere. Watch live, listen to all your options here. VSiN.com, the VSiN Watch app, YouTube TV, of course, SiriusXM Channel 158, iHeartRadio, and all major streaming platforms. Look at that. VSiN by the books to kick off the day at 8 a.m. Eastern. Kelly, you and me for an hour. Let's at go. 1 p.m. Eastern, 1 hour of solid quality radio from us. All the way to cashing out with Joe Cirillo late at night. That's your big game coverage right here from VSiN.
The Jason Weingarten in studio with us?
Oh, is he really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
In studio.
I learn things. We get tweets of beating the book real quick. This is from, let's see here. ND Money. New Orleans is my favorite place to eat. 3 to add to the list. Crawfish, etouffee, boudin, and a muffaletta.
Now you're just showing off.
Off in the dark. Highlight so far today. Kelly Bidlin saying, I can finally start my career and waiting for Gil to respond. Manny Davison. Kelly is to edge boost as the Big Hurt is to Nugenics. Tony Shank. Can you hear Kelly doing the advertising saying, wait, there's more. DJ and Southern Jed also just clarifying that Richard Hamm was someone from his childhood. Of course, we don't know who that is. Scola. Thanks for referencing the old offshore memories. Recalling now the red MoneyGram phone sending to Juan Augusto Diaz, Raul Ruiz, and Facundo Blanco. I think I once bet on Facundo Blanco in a clay court tennis match.
They never wanted my money, Gil. It took so long to get it to
him. The look on the cashier's face as I would pay for the transaction, he said. And Matthew Mayberry, no mentioning of UConn, St. John's, or Marquette with Jim? I don't think anyone's going to be happy to see them in their bracket. Matthew, we just ran out of time. I could have gone more teams, but I had to group them in at the end, so my apologies. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a stalwart at ESPN. We've known him from so far back in the day. He's the co-host of Carlin versus Joe Monday through Friday, noon to three Eastern. That's the ESPN radio show that he does Monday through Friday. But he's also, of course, on ESPN Bet Live. He's always on SportsCenter, and most importantly, above all of that, and Tim Lawson, Megapod historian, confirmed this for us yesterday. He is still, after all this time, the most frequent guest in Megapod history. It's Joe Fortenbaugh, everybody. How you doing, Joe?
Wow. I did not realize I still held that distinction.
Yes.
And I haven't even been able to get on with you. I didn't get come on this past year because of my stupid schedule. And then I think 2 years ago, I found a way to wedge on. But that's incredible. I got to keep that going. keep people at bay on that one. It was good to be on with you guys. You specifically, Gil. Kelly, not so much. I can ignore him.
Kelly,
that's a joke. Kelly. That's a joke. Everybody calm down.
Yeah, Kelly invited Joe on the show. Joe was crickets, and then I called him, and he's like, sure, I'd love to come on.
Great to hear from you, Gil.
He just doesn't have any respect for you. No respect.
So okay, Joe, we'll slide.
Hey, Joe, before we get to
I travel down to New Orleans, and like, there's been some radio stuff, and I'm trying to get the schedule organized, and you think if you get to a place like ESPN, you become a big shot, and like, you have all these people doing this stuff for you. No, it's none of that. You're still handling all of it, which is okay. But like, there's a lot of stuff with people that I don't know as well. And then like, you guys, I've known for a long time. So like, Kelly reaches out, I see the text, I'm like, all right, I can't respond to this right now. I got a million things going on, but I got to get back to this. And then of course, Gil, like, that's not good enough. Next day, hey man, didn't respond. Need to have you on.
Before we
bring you on, I'm going to read a bunch of tweets to everybody and make you listen to it, and then I'm going to bring you on.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. That was for Kelly, Joe. Yeah. That was a message back to you. I have two questions before we get to your thoughts on Super Bowl 59, and this is just inside baseball questions because I'm curious, and maybe some others are. How do you know what your sports center assignments are on a daily basis? I know you know your radio show. Maybe you have an ESPN bet that you know is happening in a static, time slot. But with sports center, how is it communicated to you that you need that they need you on a specific version of that?
You get your schedule for the month and you're listed for the show no matter what. And then sports center decides whether or not they're going to use you. So, for example, like now that football season's about to end, ESPN Bet Live is going to go back to a regular schedule. We're going to go Monday through Friday. We'll be on 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2. And during that time, I'll be listed for the 6 p.m. Sports Center probably all five of those days if I'm not traveling to New York for the stuff I do in the morning down there on Fridays. But they'll list it, and then I'll hear from them sometime in the middle of the day, hey, we'd like to have you on tonight, and then here are the topics we were thinking. So that's generally how that goes.
Wow. I don't know what my guess was, but it wasn't that as the answer to that. A monthly schedule, and then they decide after that. Okay, and here's the last one. It's just you and me talking and Kelly. Nobody else is listening. The sports center anchor that you feel enjoys your shtick the most, and more importantly, the one who's probably like, yeah, I wish the kid would shut up a little bit.
Oh, that's good. That's really good. Anytime you work with Randy and Gary, you know you've got a big opportunity there to make people laugh, because those two are very much ready to go off script, to run long, to do a complete pivot, which, like, if you enjoy doing this for a living, those are two great guys to work with, because, like, right there, you can just make chaos on TV. And some of the best advice you ever get is, like, that chaos is the stuff that people react to, right? If we're just doing the same thing bland every day, it's going to be tough. So those two are great. And then, to be honest, L. Duncan might be the best trash talker you could ever come across. So if you are ready to go blow for blow with her, like, that's, but you're stepping into that arena. Like, you can't come weak, because she will shut you down. She's a fast thinker, and she'll just unload. So like, those people are very interesting. I'm not going to answer the second part. The second part where you want me to burn someone, savvy move by you, but I got a career to think about here, buddy.
That's true. That's a good point. Probably should point that out. By the way, Randy and Gary's last names, just in case that someone doesn't know, are?
Oh, Randy Scott, Gary Streisky. Randy Scott, Gary Streisky. You know what? I will answer your question about someone who probably doesn't like the shtick. She loves listening to me on radio. She always talks about it because she's listening on the drive up. But when I was picking Ohio State in the national championship game, Hannah Storm, not a fan at all, because she's a Notre Dame grad. She's a huge Notre Dame fan. And it felt like I was on with her every time Notre Dame was getting set for a playoff game. And I was picking against Notre Dame the whole way. So like, she just got so sick of me coming on and telling America all the reasons why Notre Dame wouldn't win. I'd imagine by the end, she's probably like, all right, enough of this guy. We don't even know who this D-lister is, and I can't blame her for thinking that.
Hannah Storm, not a fan of Joe Fortenbaugh. Write that down, Kelly. All right, a Super Bowl 59.
She's wonderful, but I'd have to imagine she's had enough of me.
Are you betting a side or the total here? Let's start there before props.
I'm leaning to Philadelphia, and I know a lot of people are going to say, well, he's the Philadelphia guy. Of course, he's going to take the Eagles. 2 years ago, I had a big bet on the Chiefs, all right? So let's just disband that right now. I can separate the fandom, and I have no problem doing that. I have no problem betting against my teams either, so let's be clear there. I haven't done anything with Philly yet. It might be one of those – I do like Philly in the first half. It might be one of those first – that might be the angle. But the thing is, Like, they're built to win this game. Like, I'm looking at Kansas City, and as great as Mahomes is and all the stuff everyone throws out there, Philly's got so many paths to victory. They can run the ball against this Kansas City defense. And if somehow Spags puts together some elite game plan where they're going to shut down Barkley, you can throw on these guys. Kansas City deploys man coverage at the fifth highest rate in the NFL. Fifth highest. That's where Jalen Hurts thrives. Jalen Hurts is number three in the NFL in raw QBR against man coverage. He's ahead of Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, 15 touchdowns, two interceptions. A.J. Brown is your preeminent man beater. So like A.J. Brown props over 69.5 receiving yards, I'm in. 7-1 for him to go over 125 receiving yards, I'm in. I sprinkled a little on his MVP. I always like to get a long shot in there. He was 30-1. I played a little on that as well. So when you look at this, like, I know everyone thinks run heavy script for Philly and that's what they want to do. But if they have to open it up in the passing game, I think they can have a lot of success here.
Total homer picks, by the way. Just want to get that out of the way.
Yeah.
Despite what you said. did we get all the props in there? Did you incorporated everything there in that little diatribe?
I got one of my favorites. I haven't been talking about it yet. I just finalized it and I got down pretty much as much as I was willing to bet on this. So I'm going to start talking about it publicly. I'm going to give this one to you guys first, and this isn't any shtick. I just kind of finished it this morning because I was talking to someone from ESPN who had been watching the tape. It's a two-part prop. Trent McDuffie, the Chiefs cornerback, to record the first sack in the game is 50-1.
Ooh.
To record a sack in the game, just one sack in the game, is 30-1. Now, you look at McDuffie and you think he's a cornerback. Of course, those are going to be long shot prices. He's got like 4.5 sacks in his career. Two of them came in the regular season against Philadelphia last year. Spags wants to get pressure on Jalen Hurts. We all know about it. You guys have probably been talking about it. Hurts versus pressure versus Hurts without. It's two different quarterbacks. Against pressure, he's miserable. You got to bring pressure, but you got to be creative. In that game against Philly, I think it was a Monday nighter last year at Arrowhead, he was blitzing McDuffie like crazy, and McDuffie had two sacks in that game. So he's 50-1 to record the first sack here and 30-1 to record a sack in general. Those are two bets I like very much.
I love it. Nice job closing it out. Joe, on my only note, once again, a little more energy next time, okay? I'm sure your career will take off after that.
I'll do the best I can. I'm down here in New Orleans. Maybe I'll find some party favors. Come back on with you guys. Go nuts.
Joe Fortenbaugh, everybody, from ESPN, at Joe Fortenbaugh on the old Twitter machine, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Thank you, Joe, as always. My man. We'll come back. A little golf, a little NFL. Who knows what we'll get into? It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
In sports betting and trading, probability is a key to success. Discover the power of high probability trading with Todd Bubba Horowitz, a former floor trader and sports bettor with over 45 years of experience. Visit BubbaTrading.com/VSIN and get a free ebook on options trading. That's free. Ebook on options trading. Use code VSIN500 to save $500 on any purchase. Skill Alexander. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Nash. Last name Nash. Good call on Hannah Storm. She definitely seems like a beard for Chris Felica back in the day. Jamie Leva or Jaime Leva. Can we get a breakdown on the Transylvania Open by Kelly in a Count Von Count voice?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Have a fantastic day, gentlemen. Thank you very much. Michael Knight was looking for the sack prop that Fortenbaugh mentioned. Which book? Great question. The McDuffie sack prop. We got to figure out where that is.
Oh, yeah. I did. He said 30-50-1. I did look up Jason's Hopkins bets over at FanDuel, over 1.5 receptions, plus 126, 2+ touchdowns at 100-1.
Just a couple more here. Kevin Ryan, Gil Kelly's love for Gary Woodland week in and week out may exceed yours for Joe Jackson Gibbs. I know he's really into Woodland.
Fair.
And then Rick Ollier. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Did Kelly Blade Bidlin just insult Captain Ron? I'll have you know that he saved a family from Cuba. How dare you?
A great, terrible movie of the 90s.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm extremely uncomfortable because Kelly is sitting awfully close to me. And the reason for this is usually when we have a guest here on set, Kelly saunters, because that's what he does. He saunters back behind the glass, but not today because it's Matt Brown and it's a primetime action reunion. Matt Brown, the current host, co-host with Mike Somich, that is, of Ready, Set, Bet here on the weekends. At VSiN, Matt Brown joins us here in studio. What's happening, buddy?
How you guys doing? You had following Joe Fortenbaugh, guy that we all go way back with.
Big time.
Joe Fortenbaugh used to be on the desk with me and one Dave Farah doing a fantasy sports show.
Oh, I remember
back in
it well.
The day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's We are full circle. Small. It's smaller.
You've both come so far.
Yeah. some further than others. You guys didn't even know I still worked here until I walked in the studio just a second ago.
Yes, we did. Okay. Well, I don't know if you know this, Matt, but there's a game on Sunday.
Yes.
Super Bowl 59. And I actually don't know the answer to this. What side are you on here?
So I might have one of the very few 2.5s in the entire world.
Where did you get a 2.5? So
I sent this to Kelly.
Yeah, I didn't believe me
as
either.
Proof, because I'm like, everyone's going to listen to this and they're going to go, this guy's lying. Rogue here. Boyd went rogue here in Vegas. So Boyd usually just uses FanDuel lines,
right?
You know? So I'm sitting there and I'm kind of like, just I'm on Sunday when all the lines are populating, right?
Yeah.
Like, because I'm here with Samich.
Ready, set, bet. Check it out.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, I'm sure. There you go. We'll be here during the game. Because so if you don't want to watch the game, you can come watch us. So we're sitting there, you know, scrolling through, and like, I'm like, what is Boyd doing? Boyd went rogue and put up their own number for like 10-12 minutes.
And the Chiefs were favored by 2.5 points for 12.
So I have a Eagles plus 2.5.
Wow.
Okay, so I didn't actually ask you this question because I just assumed FanDuel had a 2.5.
No, no, no.
So FanDuel never had that.
Boyd.
Wow.
Posted their own number for about 10-12 minutes.
How much did they allow you to
put
on that?
There is also that, because as anyone who has bet Boyd here, they actually have hours on their sportsbook.
They do. Yes.
Sending to the trading team.
So when you plug in the first number, it goes sending to the trading desk. And then it was like, nah, we're not going to do that and whatever. And so it whittled down. I was able to do it twice to get, moderate. Yeah. I mean, not what you would normally bet on a game, because it was after hours. Yeah. And the trading team apparently.
Have either of you two run into the same problem I have, where I try to guess, where like it's always chopped in half? Whatever you try to bet, they're like, we'll take half of it. So I'm like, let me bet double.
Oh no, it's worse than that. Like MGM, I've had the experience where let's say I want to put a dime on it, on anything, a tennis match or whatever. It varies. Sometimes I literally have to put 7 different bets in to get to the dime, but it lets me get to the dime. And it doesn't necessarily move the number either. So it's all just algorithmic nonsense.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. None of it does.
And I'm wondering if this was like the rare time where there actually was someone back there looking, because it seems like they put up their own number for whatever. I don't know what was going on, but yeah, it was gone. So I actually have a 2.5 in the account. Let's just pretend that it was still 1.5. I would still be playing the Eagles. I have a pretty strong opinion on the Eagles in this game. I think that there is a pretty good advantage in this game for the Eagles run offense versus the Chiefs run defense. If you look and you go in and you look over the second half of the season, EPA per play allowed from the rush side of things, rush success rate allowed, this Chiefs team's in the bottom half of the league when it comes to that. Now in comes the best offensive line in the NFL with the best running back in the NFL, the guy who has. So here's the thing. You get Saquon Barkley, and then you also get an offensive line that has him number one in the league in yards before contact, right? So you have this guy who's awesome anyway, and he's not getting touched before any other running back in the NFL, right? It's like the perfect combination.
He also seems to do this thing. I don't know if you've noticed this about him. They actually pointed it out during the Skins game also, where he has gotten this timing down to a science with the Eagles offensive line, where he almost... It's like not quite the Le'Veon Bell. Remember Le'Veon Bell got to the point where
he would just
kind of
dance around.
He'd be like,
okay, he would just do a little jig real quick.
Let me sit back here for 4 seconds before it's not quite that. But like Saquon, as soon he does that, like hop step to the side and then bounces. I've never quite seen it that. Like, he seems to know exactly when to do it in a way that's not common.
It's not like Le'Veon Bell, because it's like he's waiting for, it's like, which offensive lineman's going to get the biggest push and I'm going to go through that hole.
Right.
That's what it almost feels
that's
like.
That's right. He knows where he's supposed to go, but he understands when to cut off that, as great as anybody I've ever seen.
Man, not to derail the conversation, but anyone that has not been arrested, has anyone derailed their career more than Le'Veon Bell did? I mean, like that. I mean, in the height of his powers,
in the non-arrest category,
like without getting arrested, like without going to jail or committing a crime, did anyone do more harm to in the height of his powers? He's like, yeah, I'm just not gonna play.
I'm gonna not play for a
I'm
year.
I'm just gonna not play.
See how this works.
Keep
out.
That money. I don't need it.
Bold decision, guy.
Yeah, it was just, but yeah, Gil, you're exactly right. I mean, just it's crazy, because one of the things you hear, these scouts, again, we always talk about, not a scout, not a talent evaluator, but like, it was that Saquon's vision was just above average. It wasn't like that he had great vision or whatever it was. Well, I mean, maybe it was the Giants offensive line. Maybe it was just the scheme there, whatever it was. But it does seem like something has changed since he's gotten to Philadelphia.
I mean this completely respectfully because I'm on the Chiefs side, but I also fully admit, like I keep asking the question, yes, but if one team blows out the other, is it more likely to be the Chiefs blowing out the Eagles or vice versa? I concede it would probably be the Eagles blowing out the Eagles, blowing out in quotes, yeah. Right? But here's my question to you and to those who have the Eagles. How much is the thought in your head that as you're talking about this and everything you're saying makes complete sense, but then there's this terrible possibility for you guys that Patrick Mahomes just puts on his cape, right? And it's a three-peat, and who knows, maybe they even win their 18th consecutive one-score game. What percentage of your brain is filled with the potential self-loathing of that?
Oh, for sure. You know, honestly, I kind of paint the picture on both sides. I try to, you know, in every game. And I kind of look at this, and as opposed to Patrick Mahomes putting on the cape, I kind of just see it as Jalen Hurts shrinking in the moment more than Patrick Mahomes putting on the cape.
That's like, interesting, because he didn't in the last Super Bowl.
I look at the way that he played. Granted, this last game, he played fantastic. Games leading into that, not so much. And if they get a ton of pressure on him, and if this offensive line gets tricked, and they're a very, very good offensive line, but we know Spags has been able to make the greatest of offensive lines and the greatest of offensive coordinators look silly. If they're able to get home a ton and Jalen Hurts doesn't have time to kind of operate that offense, I've painted the picture of how the Chiefs win this game and maybe even win this game by double digits.
It's interesting, though, you say about Jalen Hurts, because he did, had the Eagles won that game against the Chiefs two Super Bowls ago, he probably is the MVP. Mm. So that's interesting that you would think that somehow the script for the Eagles not playing well falls on him.
Yeah, he was better this past, was better this past game, but he has had the propensity to hold the ball a little bit too long. He has had the propensity to maybe not really just make decisive decisions when throwing and all of those things. And I can't get that out of my brain when we're talking about the conversation is, what if that happens again? What if this defense that is put in front of him, what if these exotic blitzes, what if these crazy looks just fool him, just trick him, you know, and they can't get anything going. And then if they're trying to be one dimensional with Saquon Barkley, that's not going to work.
What about the simple handicap of those who say, yeah, it just comes down to, I'd rather have Reed, Mahomes, and Butker, if I throw in the kickers, versus Sirianni, Hurts, and Jake Elliott, who Will Hill has done a great job of pointing this out. We're not talking maybe enough about Jake Elliott. This is a close game. Mm. Jake Elliott missed an extra point. We talked about this on the Megapod yesterday. Missed an extra point against the Packers. Missed two, I want to say, in the next playoff game against the Rams. And then missed a field goal. It was a long field goal against the Commanders. What about that just simple? The triumvirate. Yeah. I'd rather have this three than these three.
Part of what it goes to our conversion props conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Certainly the top two. The kicker thing's interesting to me because I think Butker, since he's come back from injury, has not looked the same. And I think Andy Reid's actually been a little reluctant to run him out there from longer distance, like in all that. But yes, certainly the top two. I mean, that is kind of like the simple handicap, and it makes perfect sense. Right? No one's going to argue with you if you just go, hey, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes. Okay, good enough. Good enough for me.
Sorry to make you feel uncomfortable in the middle. We can ask questions too. Apologize. Kelly.
Yes.
Kelly
Thank
Billen,
you for being
everybody.
Able to work it in.
Matt's got props. We'll get to those next. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Billen, Matt Brown. Just a few tweets here. We get tweets of Beat of the Book. Wet Willie Cohen. Is there not enough room for Matt Brown's movie theater screens on that desk? Very weird only seeing him with one singular laptop.
It was a choice. It was a choice.
Yeah. He's got plenty of room. He's got like half the desk over here.
It was choice.
It's got half the desk.
Yeah. There we go. There. I just can't look at
Savannah is so mad at you right now for moving. Oh, my God.
Look at that leg room.
Oh, Todd Bubba Horowitz tweeting in. He said, first sack at MGM. Bet MGM 50-1 on McDuffie. Thank you, Todd. They don't have any time sack for him. So they do have first sack for McDuffie, answering the Joe Fortenbaugh question that we got earlier. Bet MGM 50-1 McDuffie first sack, but they don't have an any time sack.
I was shocked that to have the first sack number was not way longer than that.
Yeah, I would think it would be longer. Jason H. 11, at least get Kelly a taller chair. He looks like the kid that graduated to the adult table at Thanksgiving for the first time.
Well, Gil and I did just figure out, thank you, Matt Brown, for informing us that these chairs actually go up and down. We had
knew.
No idea.
Yeah. Never knew. No wonder Samich's posture was so good. Real quick, our G-Bank best bets of the day before we get back to Matt here. G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN, every show recapping all their bets, hosts, and guests. Every single show on the network. Mine, once again, Chiefs, -1.5. By the way, Matt Brown did show me a screenshot of the Chiefs -2.5 on Sunday night. It is a real thing. Once again, on the Kendrick Lamar first song, I'm just going to say this. I have a short shot, not like us. I have a long shot at swimming pools. But let me just say this. The first thing I said about this is, if there were ever an artist that might do some funky thing beforehand, before getting to a first song, a la Coldplay did back in the day, Kendrick might be that person. But those are my two bets. National Anthem, we're 4 seconds of CLV, baby. It's at 121 now.
Nice.
We got to under 125. And by the way, the under 121 is juiced. Actually, it's under 120.5 last I looked. So it's 4.5 seconds now. I'd still go under. And then I added Kareem Hunt, Chiefs first touchdown scorer, +425. And Kareem Hunt, the first overall touchdown scorer at 9-1. Calais by DeLon.
Yeah, nothing for me tonight. So everything Super Bowl. AFC, where's my AFC hat? It's the same price. I feel like I've asked Matt about this prop in years past, too, and he was like, don't bet that.
He was equally enthusiastic.
No, he was one of those guys. I was like, don't bet that. That's
as I was.
AFC to win Super Bowl, -115. Let's go, Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes to win Super Bowl MVP. I am in on that, +125. Xavier Worthy, over 5.5 rushing yards. Kareem Hunt, over 42.5 rushing yards. Isaiah Pacheco, longest rush, under 8.5. Both teams to score 1+ touchdown in each half. Yes. Will there be a 2-point conversion attempt? Yes. +110.
All right. Also picks on the show today from JVT, Jonathan Ontopa from New Orleans. He's on the Eagles once again on the money line, Super Bowl 59. Xavier Worthy, over 5.5 rushing yards. Eagles to convert a fourth down, no. At +550, he's going contrarian on that one. Likes the number at +550. And then Kareem Hunt, anytime touchdown. Oh, he was on Kareem Hunt as well, but in a different way, at +140. Also, Jim Root, James Patrick Root from College Hoops. Mizzou in Tennessee, under 134.5. He is grabbing 17 points on Tulsa tonight against Memphis, and he's laying 1.5 with Nebraska against UW. Anything else did we have today? After Jim Rue?
Joe Fortenbaugh.
Yeah, Joe Fortenbaugh. Yeah. Of course. Who am I talking about here? Joe Fortenbaugh. A.J. Brown, over 70.5 receiving yards. Joe's a Eagles fan. Homer. A.J. Brown, anytime touchdown, +165. Homer. Trent McDuffie, the one we were just talking about, 30-1 to record a sack, 50-1 to record the first sack of this game coming from the secondary. G-Bank once again with Matt Brown. Oh, we got one Matt Brown in before we get to his props.
Yeah, little
Eagles. Eagles +2.5. He got it in the 12-minute window. Eagles +2.5 versus the Chiefs. G-Bank, why the guy? Again, the official bank of VSiN. VSiN recommends every better make the G-Bank Visa Signature Card part of their betting toolbox. Save up to 3-5% on cash advance fees. Earn cashback rewards on eligible betting transactions. And now for a limited time, you'll get a $250 bonus when you open your account and spend $1,000 in the first 90 days. Apply now at VSiN.com/G-Bank. That's VSiN.com/G-Bank. Take advantage of the $250 bonus for a limited time from our friends at G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN. Subject credit approval, terms and conditions apply. Matt Brown from Ready, Set, Bet, along with Mike Samich here on the weekends. He will be broadcasting live during Super Bowl 59 on Sunday. Always a thrill to have our old primetime action co-host back with us. Matt Brown M2 on Twitter, is
that's
that correct?
It. Still.
Yeah. You don't sound so excited about that.
It's, you know, we battle with these with a common name. At least you guys, you know, fine. There's not very many Gills. There's not very many Bidlins, but yeah. Or certainly not Kellys with the EYs. You know, you're good to go.
What's the Matt Brown? If you do remember,
I mean, my 7 million of us. You know,
my Twitter handle was taken forever, and I believe you discovered on Primetime Action one night. It was available.
It was available, yeah.
And you nailed it.
Nailed
good
it
for you.
Wasn't there a Matt UFC? Wasn't there a UFC fighter named Matt Brown?
There is also a UFC fighter.
You got some of his tweets sometimes?
I used to get his text messages sent to, because we were in the same industry. So we were with the same people. So like there would be people who would text me thinking that I got one not even very long ago from another fighter who was asking him like, dude, are you really considering like XXX or all stuff like that? And I was like, I'm just not going to answer this one. Like, let's not have any fun.
It's always entertaining when Brian Ortega and Matt Brown fight.
Oh, yeah. There's that. Real quick before we get into this, I know yes. I heard you've been asking people about food and stuff down in New Orleans and whatnot.
Oh, you're the expert.
You know something about Louisiana?
No, but what I will say is if you're going down there with like your family and kids and stuff, like maybe do the whole Cafe Du Monde thing.
Very touristy.
It is a piece of fried dough just buried in powdered sugar. I mean, it's not a groundbreaking, it's not like one of these desserts that you have and you go, oh, this is like why I came to New Orleans. Right. I mean, like they invented Bananas Foster at Commander's Palace in New Orleans. Right. Like it was literally invented there. You know, like you could go there and have it at the place where the dessert was invented and it's awesome. But like beignets, like, all right, cool.
Pecan or pecan?
Ooh. Pecan.
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 Pecan. That's how I go.
You go pecan?
Oh. Yeah. Pecan pie.
So you just mix all
of them? Yeah, mix all of them.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Pecan
pie. All right, sir. Yeah. What are your favorite props? What do you bet here?
I have the worst of a number. I know it's typically unders late, overs early. I actually thought the Jalen Hurts passing prop was going to get bet down. I thought a lot of people would look at this and say, okay, in a lot of games where they have a ton of success, he's kind of in the high 100s as opposed to the 200s and stuff. So I have an under 214.5. With that, it's up to 215.5 at some books out there. So anyway, I typically do the whole unders late, overs early, but I thought this one was going to get hammered and it did not. So going the opposite direction, worst of it there. Kareem Hunt over 10.5 rush attempts is now up to 11.5 rush attempts. I've also played the alt at 14 plus at plus 202. I think Kareem Hunt is by easily the number one back there in Kansas City now. He has out-touched Isaiah Pacheco in the last four games for this team that matter. Obviously, Week 18 didn't matter, but like the two games leading into that and the two playoff games. So I expect Kareem Hunt to try to see if he can get something going and Andy Reid and them see if they can get something going against this light box that Vic Fangio and them run with the Eagles defense. I mean, that's his whole defense. He plays the super deep, too high shell thing, and that's the defense he's going to play. So I expect him to get something going there. So I took the over 43.5 rushing yards with Hunt as well. Kind of a correlated deal. Isaiah Pacheco under 9.5 longest rush. That's down to 8.5. I still think you could play it there. I don't think he gets more than 5 or 6 carries in this. He only had a 10-yard rush 4 times this season as it was anyway. So for me, I like that a decent amount. I like the Eagles. I got to like Saquon. So I didn't play just the typical number here. I kind of laddered the alts. And so over 130, 140, and 150, that comes in at kind of like plus 170, plus 240, and plus 340.
Wow.
So kind of going with that kind of game script, right, of Saquon Barkley being able to have success,
Didn't go over 200 for the record?
I didn't do that. Coward, I think that, and that being said, if there's anyone that could do it, right? I mean, this guy can like pop off 60 yarders, it seems like, you know, left and right. Dallas Goedert over 46.5 receiving yards. I think it's up to like 48.5 receiving yards now, but this was like literally, by the way, the props came out because again, we were on
air. We talk about this all the time. It's incredible.
I was listening to you and Mike.
Two minutes after the game. I mean, like we were in, so there were actually numbers to be got. This is something for next year to remember for everybody out there. Like there were numbers to be had literally 2 minutes as soon as the game was populated.
And on
your
desktop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Shout
out MGM on your actual computer. Yes.
Shout out to MGM. I also took a dart on just a fun. This is fun, guys. Fun. But I took a dart on Goddard for MVP. It's like 125-1.
You took a what? Oh, a dart.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a. I look at it from this standpoint. Is there in 1 in 100 times if we play this game, is there a completely disgusting, gross game that finishes 17-13 where Dallas Goedert catches 7 balls like he did against this, you know, in a week, 2 weeks ago for 85 yards and a touchdown. Saquon only goes for 74 and, you know, whatever and all that. Is there a world that exists that maybe he could end up 125-1 Dallas Goedert? More of a fun one.
Last thing, sports talk radio question. If the Chiefs pull off the three-peat, regardless of everything the Patriots did under Belichick and Brady, would this be the single most impressive thing in pro football in our lifetime?
I think so, for sure, because we've changed how football is, right? Like, everybody's got more data. Everyone's got more tape. Everyone knows how to analyze all this stuff, and they're figuring out how to beat it on the fly.
I kind of think you're right. Mm-hmm. I do. Kelly, how do you enjoy being in the middle? You like it?
I'm having a great time.
You gone again?
I'm just happy to be here.
Matt Brown, everybody. Ready, set, bet as they all crash to the bottom. Stormy's next with Money Moves and Joy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.